Philippians 2 and verse 5. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking upon his form, taking his place in the likeness of men. And having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. On the 5th of August 2010, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was an explosion in a mine in Chile. And 33 men were trapped 2,300 feet below the ground in a space not as big as this room. It was to be 2.5 weeks before they were found and 10 weeks before they were rescued. After a very costly and arduous rescue operation, trapped. No way out. No escape. No way of helping themselves. Captive. Maybe you think you might appreciate the awfulness of such a situation. Without realizing that as a sinner, you're in exactly the same situation. There's nothing you can do to help yourself. There's no escape from your situation. You're trapped. Satan has men trapped through alcohol or drug abuse or materialism or debt or whatever it is. He traps men. And it tells us in Isaiah 14 that he dismisseth not his prisoners homewards. Satan will never let you go. Never. He'll keep you in abject misery because he has no love for your soul. That's the state of a sinner without Christ. And we're all sinners, every one of us. Scripture tells us that. We're all sinners. The gospel is about a rescue operation. Never a rescue operation like that which was effected by Christ. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Down from the glory came God's blessed Son, lost ones to save. Lost ones to save, that's you and I. No hope apart from Christ. That's the situation, you know. I feel that I can't say anything about Philippians 2. It's one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture describing how the Lord came down. One of the Godhead came into manhood. Why? Because of the lost condition of man through the incoming of sin. You know the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And God came down to commune with man, his greatest creation, you know. Man was God's greatest creation, but he rebelled against him. And sin came into the world through disobedience. Well, come on to that. Disobedience. Man disobeyed God. Thank God for the obedience of the one man, by whom the many will be constituted righteous. But you know, sin entered the world, and by sin death. And death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. You won't escape death, my friend. Medical science might put the date back, but you won't escape. Everybody here knows the date of their birth, but nobody knows the date of their death. Just think about that for a moment. You don't have to be old to die. These men were facing death. That's what they're facing. Many of them at the time with no knowledge of Christ the Saviour. What a position to be in. If you are to meet God tonight, and you will meet God, how would you fare? How would you stand in the swelling of the Jordan, the prophet says? How wilt thou then do, facing death tonight without Christ? Oh, the awfulness of it. He went into death for you, to liberate you, to free you from Satan's clutches. That's what he did. Let Satan's captives hear the sound. Find him at Luke, you know. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. No preaching like the preaching of Jesus. Preach to the captives deliverance. The only person that can release you tonight from the grip of Satan is Jesus. And he's willing to do it. He's waiting on you tonight, my friend. He wants you to come to him. He wants you as you are. Just as you are. Just as I am. He doesn't want any preparation. Just come as you are. He knows all about you. He knows you're a sinner. He knows that you need him. And he's willing to save you. All you need to do is to come in repentance. Admit that you're a sinner. And you need a saviour. And you'll be saved tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Subsisting in the form of God. Touch this morning is the glory of Christ, greatness of his person. He wasn't sent from heaven, he came from heaven. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do, O God, thy will. He was sent as on earth. You know, as God, he emptied himself. He emptied himself in coming into manhood. That is, he laid aside the glory that belonged to him as God and was found at manhood's weakest point in Bethlehem's manger. Could hardly take it in. Let all God's angels worship him. Think of the heavenly host taking account of that babe in Bethlehem's manger. What grace, you know. Touching humanity at its weakest point. You can scarcely take it in. But that's what was there. Love divine. All loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Came, you know, to express what lay in God's heart towards you as a sinner. because God loves you. Well, he grew up. Through the stages of life. How soon it is when sin rears its head in a person's life. How soon? You realise that the children all come from a fallen race and they all need saved. Your parents could love the Lord. You could hear the Bible read every morning and prayer said, but you need to accept Christ for yourself. The Lord Jesus grows up under the eye of heaven. What delight heaven found in that pathway. Through the years, as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young man, these years were delightful to heaven. So different from your life and mine. But then there comes a point when he takes up public service. That's what we find in Luke. He takes up public service. He commits himself to the fulfillment of the will of God and what he'd come to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's still doing it tonight. What a study the public life of Jesus is. We know very little about his private life, but we know that heaven was delighted in it. But think of the persons that he came in contact with. Think of that woman you know at Sychar's well. He could remove her burden, but he carried that burden to Calvary. He could remove the leprosy from the leper, but he carried it to Calvary. You thought about that? Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He carried these burdens all the way to Calvary. Found in figures a man humbled himself. You know, this is Paul's, I liken this to Paul's view of John 8, you know. You get the two stoops of the Lord. The stoop into manhood. It says he's knelt down and wrote on the ground. He wrote on the ground. He never left this world as he found it, you know. Think of the world into which Christ came. How dreadful a place it was. But he left the love of God. He left a way back. He left a way of salvation. He stood up. And then he stooped again. The stoop into death. It was for you and for me, my friend. He went there for me. Becoming obedient even unto death. And that, the death of the cross. My Saviour never learned to obey. He came into conditions to which obedience applied. And that was to be tested in the most severe way. But you know, his love never failed. It never failed. Obedient unto death. And that, the death of the cross. You know, I might never know how far away I was, but every step of the way was covered at Calvary's cross. Thou didst measure then sin's distance, when thou didst for sins atone. My sins and your sins, if you put your faith and trust in him, were borne by Jesus on Calvary's cross. What a saviour Jesus is, you know. Think of what he bore for you and for I. These men were 2,300 feet below the ground, but my Saviour went far lower than that. It says prophetically, the weeds were wrapped upon around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The bars of the earth closed upon me forever. Think of the Lord's feelings, you know, as he suffered, as he went into death. Think of the cost of this rescue operation. What was the cost? His precious blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Blessed God saw the blood on Calvary's cross, the blood of his only begotten Son, as we were told in the reading, his only begotten Son, the blood of Jesus. No wonder Peter could speak about his precious, you know, precious blood, the blood of a spotless victim, the only one who could meet the claims of a holy and righteous God in respect of the sins that you and I had committed. Have you accepted Jesus as your Saviour? He would never have died, you know, had he not given up his life. It never would have overtaken him as it will overtake you and I. He gave up his life. He went into death. Think of what it must have meant for the Lord of life and glory to be numbered with the dead. You know, it's been said, as far as heaven was concerned, when Christ was in death, everything was in death. He was raised at the earliest opportunity by the glory of the Father. It was impossible that such a one could remain in death because he'd never sinned. He comes out of death triumphant, breaking its power forever. Men are in thrall of death, you know, fear of death. But there is one who through death set free those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, are subject to bondage. You're frightened to die. You know, link with a Saviour, you should be. Men are blasé about death, you know. But death is a penalty. The sting of death is removed for the believer in Jesus. He's coming again. Granted him a name, that which is above every name. Ah, how sweet the name of Jesus is to every lover of his. The song of the drunkard tonight, Jesus. You know, whatever Satan does, the name of Jesus is everywhere. It's everywhere. When shall he die and his name perish? His name will never die because he's granted a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know you will bow to Jesus. You will bow. Everyone will bow to Jesus. It's one of the reasons that men fear death. You can resist coming to Christ as long as you live. But when you die, you surrender to Christ. He rules over living and dead. You surrender to Christ. After death, the judgment. You need to know the consequences of refusing God's offer of grace in the glad tidings. There comes a time in your life when you realise that your actions have consequences. When you're young, you don't realise that. But there comes a time when you realise that. And it may be that your decision tonight in respect of coming to Christ will be taken as your last and only answer. You may not get another opportunity. The Athenians said, "We'll hear you again concerning this," and there's no record that they ever did. No record. Come to Christ tonight while you still have an opportunity, and you'll be found among those who'll be praising him eternally. Bow the knee now to a Saviour, or you will bow the knee to a judge. It's as simple as that. What a saviour Jesus is. You know, the first drill that went into that mine missed the men by a long way. And the second one, to the amazement of those who were in control of it, veered off course and came right through into where the men were. Of course, there were believers in that mine praying daily. And you know, one day after that drill came through, 22 of these men gave their hearts to Christ and pledged their lives to Him. Now, maybe you have given your heart to Christ, but I ask you, have you pledged your life to Christ? He's worthy of everything that you have. Demands my soul, my life, my all. Mary of Magdala was freed from Satan's clutches by the Lord Jesus, and He was everything to her. They've taken away my Lord. I'm challenged as I read John 20, because her love for the Lord was so great that she had nothing else here. They've taken away my Lord. I have nothing else. You see, she wasn't intelligent, but she got the greatest message that was ever delivered to anybody. Mary of Magdala, freed from Satan's clutches, Christ became everything to her. May He become everything to each one in this room. If you've never come before, come tonight before it's too late, for His name's sake. Amen.